We begin with news about the Violence Against Women Act, which has become a lightning rod in a divided Congress, and that has many on-the-ground providers on the edge. Last week, 2 months after the House let it lapse, the House of Representatives voted to renew the landmark legislation, with many Republicans voting against it. Now House Democrats' version moves to the Senate, where several liberal amendments may doom its passage. Tasha Menneker is co-chief executive officer with the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence, and she says VAWA allocates essential funding to programs for law enforcement, prosecutors, victims, service providers, and to their coalition so they can adequately respond to crimes and provide services to survivors. I sat down with her recently and asked her how all of this back and forth in Congress has affected their work on the ground here in Arizona.
Whenever we have situations where federal funding for services is at risk, whether it's a federal shutdown or it's questions about whether the Violence Against Women Act will be reauthorized, that always creates unease in the community because so many of our programs are reliant upon federal funding in order to serve survivors. So when we see these types of conversations in the media, it's not only concerning to the service providers, but it's also concerning to survivors and family members because they recognize the importance of this type of federal funding to ensuring that survivors have access to healing.
Yeah, so it makes everybody a little nervous for some time. So the House passing this new version of the bill is a good thing from your point of view?
For us, certainly, it's very important for the Violence Against Women Act to be reauthorized. That funding is necessary in order for us as the coalition and service providers and responders to do the work that we do. Some of the funding through VAWA directly funds positions within law enforcement and prosecutors' offices, within coalitions, and within victim service agencies. So we were certainly advocating for the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act.
But there are some controversial provisions in it now that Democrats have added in. Let's talk about those. So one being the closure of what they're calling the boyfriend loophole, right, mm-hmm. which bars some people who have been convicted in domestic violence cases from buying a gun. What do you make of this?
So we're in support of that provision. What it does is close a gap. Previously, within VAWA, the provision said that people who were convicted of a domestic violence offense were prohibited from purchasing guns if their relationship with the person that they abused was that they had been married to that person, lived with that person, or had a child with that person. And so this closes a gap in situations where the two parties might have had a dating relationship. We, in fact, had a situation in Arizona that led to a statute change in Arizona to expand the statutory definition of domestic violence to include dating relationships mm-hmm. because a young high schooler was shot and killed by her partner.
So what does this problem look like here in Arizona? I've read that we are one of the top 10 states in the country for deaths from domestic violence situations. Is that the case?
Yes, that's true. So at the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence, to the best of our ability, we document and track every domestic violence-related fatality in the state annually. And so what we've seen is that at least between 2012 and 2018, that our rate of intimate partner homicide by firearm is actually almost 66% higher than the national average.
So there's also another provision that many Republicans are objecting to in this new version of the bill that adds some protections for transgender people. So mm-hmm. my understanding is that the existing law has protections for transgender people in shelters and housing. Mm-hmm. This new bill would add protections for them in prisons. Do you think that's an important thing to do?
Yes, absolutely. What we know from looking at the research is that people who identify as transgender are much higher risk, actually, for sexual and domestic violence, particularly sexual violence. 1 in 2 people who are transgender have experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. Mm. And part of the reason for that is situations like these where if a transgender person goes into prison, if they are not housed with the population that is the gender of which they identify, it puts them at greater risk for experiencing violence.
So many of the people on the Republican side of this bill who are objecting to the new version of this are saying that basically Democrats are playing politics with this. They're putting forth a bill that they know Republicans are not going to vote for. They know the president will not sign. And they are asking for a more bipartisan version. From your point of view, do you think that this is politics? Or do you think that these are things that really need to happen?
When it comes to the provisions that are specific to closing the so-called boyfriend loophole, as well as having protections in place for transgender people, I see those, they should be bipartisan or nonpartisan issues, because these are coming from a survivor-centered place. If we want to assist and support and protect survivors, then these provisions are important to doing that.
All right. Tasha Medeker is the co-chief executive officer of the Arizona Coalition to End Sexual and Domestic Violence. Tasha, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Arizona Congressman Debbie Lesko is herself a survivor of domestic violence and has called for a clean version of the Violence Against Women Act on the House floor.
I am a survivor of domestic violence. And as a survivor of domestic violence, I am calling on all of my colleagues to reauthorize this critical bill that helps women and children who have experienced the trauma and pain of abuse and who need our support.
I spoke with the Congresswoman earlier about why, even though she thinks it's incredibly important legislation, she did not vote for the Democrats' version of the bill.
Because it forces domestic violence shelters, under the weight of federal law, to take in biological men that identify as women and put them right next to women. Now, many of these women have certainly gone through abuse, but some have been sexually abused. And not all of these shelters can accommodate separate facilities for men and women. You know, they don't have separate living areas. So what you're doing is exposing these women to men and potentially sleeping right next to them or having to shower with them. And I just don't think that's right. And so I introduced an amendment that would say the shelters need to protect the privacy and the safety of the victims. And that's really all it said. Unfortunately, the Democrats would not move forward that amendment.
So you're talking about this provision that adds some protections for transgender people. So the other side of this argument is that, you know, research shows that transgender people are usually some of the most at risk for abuse, especially sexual abuse, and especially in situations where they're not grouped with people who are the gender that they identify with. Do you see an issue there?
Well, currently, any shelter can take in anyone they want, including transgenders, and they do. And so I talked to some shelters in Arizona, and some are equipped with different separate apartments. And so that type of shelter could take in a biological man who identifies as a woman and could take in a woman. They're not in the same space. But in other shelters, they're not equipped for that. And so the problem with this is we don't want to discriminate against anyone, but what this law does is force all shelters, no matter how they are equipped, to take in a transgender woman who is a biological male who identifies as a woman and place them next to vulnerable women. I just think that that prioritizes the rights of the transgender woman over that of the women themselves, who we are trying to protect. Now, is it going to be a problem in all situations? No, but certainly there could be situations where you're invading the privacy of the women and you could violate the safety of the women, and that's who we're trying to protect.
So then let's talk about this second reason that you object to this bill, this so-called boyfriend loophole. What's your objection to this part?
I didn't object to any boyfriend loophole. What I objected to was that this piece of legislation basically says that if there's a ex parte order of protection against the defendant, that then their gun rights would be taken away. And an ex parte order of protection basically means that the defendant does not go to court. So it would just be, you know, they don't have due process to defend themselves. So in many cases, you know, it's legitimate. The person that is complaining about the abuse goes to a let's say, a justice of the peace and gets an order of protection. But the defendant is not there to defend themselves. In some cases, let's say it's a bad marriage or a bad breakup between a boyfriend and girlfriend, and they're trying to get retaliation against them and they make something up. I mean, the defendant wouldn't even have the right to be in court to defend themselves. And that's what I objected to.
Hmm. One of the things that advocates have said, I spoke with one earlier, who, you know, says that Arizona has one of the highest rates in the country when it comes to deaths from domestic violence situations by firearms. Do you think that this is an attempt to lower that rate here?
Well, I certainly think that guns should be taken away from people that have gone to court, and there's an order of protection where both parties have gone in front of a judge and can defend themselves, and the judge determines, no, the gun should be taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely do think guns should be taken away from criminals and also people that have order of protections if the defendant has the opportunity to go to court and tell their side of the story.
So you've said that this should be a bipartisan issue. Do you think there's any way going forward that the two parties can come together on this when both sides seem to agree on, you know, the heart of what VAWA is attempting to do?
I hope that both parties can get together, and I have tried, quite honestly, a number of times. This is something that needs to be done. We need to do it in a bipartisan fashion, if for nothing else, reasons that you have a Republican Senate. So it doesn't matter if they push through this Democrat bill that they know has things in it that Republicans object to, because when it hits the Senate, that bill's not going to go anywhere.
All right. That's Congresswoman Debbie Lesko. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.